Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The widow who put two mites in the temple treasury could not imagine the ultimate interest her gift would draw in the bank of heaven. But God knew, and no doubt He'll reward her for the faith it took to give all she had. How much faith do we have in these uncertain times? From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on investing for eternity. Turn with us to Mark chapter 12 as Erwin Lutzer talks about why a widow gave her two mites. It's the story of when giving less is more.
I think it was given out of love, but also faith. Faith to believe that God would meet her need. It's the kind of faith that you and I need in a time of economic uncertainty. It's the kind of faith that you and I need when it seems as if whatever has been nailed down is being torn up, and we don't know where the economic decline is going to end. At a time like this, we need faith, and we need to believe. You know, when you look at our bulletin, you can tell that as a church, we're in great financial need. And we haven't cut back a lot of things yet, although we have some things in place where we are not spending money, even though we could use it and need it. But we don't know what the future holds. People say, Pastor Lutzer, are you nervous? Are you afraid? No, not really, because I believe God is going to bring us through it. But we never know what sacrifices we'll make in the way. We never know where we're going to have to cut. And as leaders, we always have the responsibility to make those kinds of decisions. But what we need is faith. Now, in order to illustrate, let me tell you that this past week, I spent 2.5 days in the state of California. Could I say parenthetically, it was just so gratifying, maybe that's not the word, to turn on CNN and see that it was 17 degrees below in Chicago. And then walk out of the hotel dressed just as I am now, able to take off my suit coat later in the afternoon and enjoy the warm sunshine. And I thought, I hope the people of Chicago never know that there is a place like California where you can do that. I was speaking at the Master's College. Many of you are acquainted with the ministry of John MacArthur. As a matter of fact, the tie that I am wearing today was given to me by the school. It is the official school tie. I told John I'd wear it in the pulpit on Sunday morning. The topic was suffering. I've never been at a conference yet where I heard such messages on insight regarding suffering. Dr. John MacArthur and also Sinclair Ferguson were there speaking about suffering in a way that I'd never heard before. But on Friday night before I spoke, they had a 20-minute testimony by Johnny Erickson Tada. Now, many of you will be acquainted with her the moment I mention her name. But for those of you who aren't, 40 years ago, yes, it is 40 years ago, she dived into Chesapeake Bay and broke her neck and has been a quadriplegic for 40 long years. In order to give you an idea of how long that was ago, I remember when I read her first book telling her story sometime in the 70s when I was pastor of Edgewater Baptist Church. It goes back a long, long time. If you know that she has a wonderful ministry called Johnny and Friends, and some of our people here at the church, the Butler family, for example, have often attended her retreats and brought music in that context. But Johnny was wheeled, of course, in her wheelchair, and she spoke. And I want to give you a summary of what she said, because it does relate to economics. She said when this accident happened, she had some very tough questions for God, not just questions like you might ask in a Bible study, you know, what do you think about this? No, 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 she had some tough questions. God, you say that you love your children. If you love your children, why are you so mean to them? Why do you treat me like this? She wanted to die. In fact, she'd have committed suicide if she could have. But as a result of that, God brought her through that and gave her insight into suffering, the likes of which none of us could possibly fathom. I don't know anyone who ministers to so many millions of people, and she's on the radio and she has had a lot of exposure to helping people. I don't know of anybody who does, who ministers out of complete, total brokenness. She says every morning she wakes up, she says, God, I can't do this another day. I can't. I say also that her pain is worse than it used to be. She said now it's to the very level it was when this accident happened. She said, I live with chronic pain 24 hours a day. But at 7 in the morning, the woman who's designed to, taking care of her, comes in and begins the process then. And Johnny tells God, I can't do this another day. If I'm going to do this another day, you have to do this. If you don't give me my strength, I'm just going to lie here. I cannot do it. And this dear woman, whom we shall call Mary, comes in and begins to help Johnny to get out of bed, brushes her teeth for her, does everything. And as time goes on, Johnny begins to realize that God has given her strength for another day. Now that's been 40 long years. People say, Johnny, we'd like to pray for your healing. Can we pray for your healing? And Johnny says, sure, but first of all, I want to tell you what kind of healing you should pray for. She said, don't pray that I'll walk. In fact, early on, there were all these people who said, God has shown me that you're going to walk here and so forth, and it never happened. She said, don't pray that I'm going to walk. She said, pray for the healing of my soul. She said, what 40 years in a wheelchair has done is it has given me a hatred for sin, and I see how terrible it is. And she said, my soul needs healing, because she said, I still struggle with pettiness, with self-pity, with a very, very narrow view sometimes of people. She said, pray that that will happen. That's more important than whether or not I walk. Holiness is more important than happiness or wholeness physically. That's what she said. And then she said this. She said, having a disability isn't the worst thing in the world. The worst thing in the world is to have an impure heart. You remember Jesus, when he was talking about lust, said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it from you. If your right hand offends you, cut it off and cast it from you. Well, if you cut out your right eye and your right hand, you'd be disabled. But Jesus said, it is better to enter into heaven disabled, having taken care of lust and the sin that is keeping you from faith, it is better to do that than to arrive in hell completely healthy and well, after which, of course, you won't be. So she said, the disability isn't the worst thing. It's the sin in my heart that you have to pray for. And I just thought, wow. But then she said this, and this relates to economics, it relates to this woman, it relates to the fear that we have of the future. She said, what this did was it blasted me against God. I had nowhere to go except God, wholeheartedly. She said it was like sandblasting, to blast out all everything I've depended upon, everything that was important to me, whether it was my looks, whether it was my future, whether it was my career, all that was gone. I had only God. And she said, I discovered that God wasn't mean. I discovered that God cared about me. He is loving beyond all words, she said. And she discovered that in the crucible of suffering. But then she said this. She said, Jesus seems much bigger to us and much more able when we are desperate. I wonder if our financial downturn might be given to us by God to teach us that Jesus is bigger than we realized and better than we realized and more trustworthy than we realized, because we're in financial need and we don't know where to turn. It's a final lesson I think this dear lady teaches us, and that is this. What a beautiful picture of Jesus. I say a beautiful picture of Jesus because he also was rich. He was rich, the Bible says, but he became dirt poor. And he came to live on this earth and to die on the cross so that you and I could be redeemed. And he gave it all in extravagant, irrational love. And because of that, he gave what he had so that you and I might be saved. What a beautiful picture of generosity is our Savior. And that's why we should be generous, is because he's been merciful and generous to forgive us, to make us heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ, to give us all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And because of that, we too can trust and believe that the God who sees the sparrow fall is the God who will take care of us. Hard times, yes, ask Johnny. But is he loving? Is he kind? Is he trustworthy? Can we believe him, though our wallets are empty? And the answer is yes. Let us pray. Our Lord, today we ask that you will help us. Help all those who came today whose focus has been on their need. Help them to see, Father, that you are with us in the good times, in the tough times. And when we don't know where to turn, we ask that wholeheartedly we'll turn to you. Help us to see Jesus bigger because we're desperate. What prayer do you have to pray today? Whatever it is, just simply say, Lord Jesus, I give to you my burdens. Some of you need to give him your sins. And if you do in faith, he'll exchange it with his righteousness. Whatever God has talked to you about, you do. Father, hear the cry of your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
We here at the Ministry of Running to Win, we take delight in making resources available to you that we think will be helpful in your spiritual journey. Well, this series of messages, we're coming to the end of it, entitled Investing for Eternity, we can send it to you in permanent form. For a gift of any amount, you can have it, and then you can play it again and again, share it with your friends, remind yourself of the generosity of God and the responsibilities we have with the funds that God has given to us. The name of the series, Investing for Eternity. And thanks so much in advance for helping us, because as you frequently hear me say, together we are making a difference. Perhaps you've never connected with us before. This would be a great opportunity to do just that. Ask for Investing for Eternity.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up When Giving Less Is More, his second message in a series on investing for eternity. Next time on Running to Win, Erwin Lutzer becomes our financial counselor. Tune in as he tells us to invest with your ROI in mind. All four messages on investing for eternity can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.